What a week.
Call it Obama's defining week. A slideshow portfolio of potentially defining moments where in a span of about 100 hours, he was national comforter-in-chief.
We can't control when or where a terrible storm may strike, but we can control how we respond to it. And I want every American who has been affected by this disaster to know that the federal government will do everything we can to help you recover.
A news conference there amidst the record tornado devastation in Alabama last week. And that was right after Obama was political tactician-in-chief, preempting the birthers with a certificate and this serious-sounding taunt about getting down to America's business.
We're not going to be able to do it if we spend time vilifying each other. We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers.
Then on Saturday night, it was Obama, comedian-in-chief.
Tonight, for the first time, I am releasing my official birth video.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner showing how comfortable this president is even behind enemy lines.
I want to make clear to the Fox News table, that was a joke. That was not my real birth video. That was a children's cartoon.
And then 56 million Americans got to see the big finish. Obama on Sunday night in the East Room of the White House. No laugh track, all history.
I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan.
Barack Obama, very much commander-in-chief last Sunday night, announcing that bin Laden raid. With us to talk about the week that was and all the defining moments or potentially defining moments in it is James Warren, Chicago columnist for The New York Times and the Chicago News Cooperative, who also wrote a piece for The Atlantic on the difficulty of singling out defining moments in any presidency. James Warren, good morning.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. What are the difficulties in selecting in advance or even as they happen defining moments in any presidency?
Well, I think it's clearly much more difficult now, which was one of the reasons I was calling a lot of smart folks, as I heard a lot of our old cable TV pundit friends declaring this, as they have many other matters in the last year or so, including the BP oil spill, Obama's Katrina, remember that?
Sure.
Defining moments. And, you know, getting a sense after talking to a lot of folks and then also stepping back and looking at the, you know, the current media landscape and comparing it to what once was, in advance of what actually was a quite defining speech whose 50th anniversary comes this Monday, I just thought, you know, how does a president, define himself, how can we actually be moved in a climate in which, okay, it's take any of those events you just mentioned, it's the certificate, and then a day later it may be a tornado that we're convulsed by, and particularly if cable TV reduces all of these things into sort of mini dramas and quickly moves on to the next. I think it's very hard for people, to exhibit any sort of consensus, any sort of single-minded focus on one actual event. And all the more so in our politics, I just think it's naive a year or so out from a campaign to say, oh, this is significant. This is going to take away from the Republicans their old tactic of finger wagging at the Democrats as being weak on national security. I think it's very, very difficult to look at one event.
Well, James, you tell a story in your Atlantic piece of two photos, and I'm wondering if there's a temptation in the White House in this cable news cycle world we live in, supercharged by the internet, for administrations to basically audition every moment as a defining moment, and spontaneity goes completely out the window.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was total coincidence that the photograph that most of us saw of Obama's somewhat informal, off to the left with his jacket, not even in the central position, Hillary Clinton hands to her face, is taken by the chief White House photographer, Pete Souza, who was my photographer as a Washington bureau chief for the Chicago Tribune. And I'm looking at that and thinking a bunch of things, including the fact that Pete, 25 years ago, in a previous tour, had taken a very similar photo of Ronald Reagan, Pat Buchanan, Donald Regan, the then chief of staff, looking at a video of the Challenger shuttle explosion. In each case, very similar atmospherically, in each case, perhaps the photos that will be best recalled, but in each case, I'm not sure they'll end up being events that, quote, define that presidency. And as one of the folks who works for you and does an interesting blog pointed out, there was a series of photos that the White House released very premeditatively, and you know, obviously there was a reason behind each one, and in most of them, the president looks sort of more presidential, but that's all that we know. We know the 8 or 9 photos that my friend Pete took and released, nothing more.
Is there a way to characterize this week as significant in some way? Can we at least say that the president has lost a certain kind of erratic quality, and that there's a sense of gravitas now that surrounds him after these events?
Well, I mean, I think you can say it was an astonishing week, particularly in, you know, in almost its atmospheric and substantive diversity. And somebody like Bill Clinton must be deeply envious of Obama, particularly his immersion in seemingly history-making wars and an anti-terrorist campaign. I mean, you know, just think, as you said, the range he showed in sort of sticking it to the birthers and being funny before the press corps, in announcing bin Laden's death, and finally being empathetic. I mean, I think it was astonishingly impressive performance, but it's also a media culture where all you need is one little terrorist attack, one screw-up by a cabinet member, one downward blip by the economy, and all things change. I mean, I open up the Chicago newspapers this morning, and there's nothing about that Libya story that you mentioned.
Right.
There's nothing about the war in Libya. It's this concocted tale of a, quote, controversy over whether our outgoing mayor, Richard M. Daley, the king of American mayors, should get, as he has apparently decided he's going to get, 3 bodyguards once he retires, May 16th. It's just on to the next thing. And, it's total coincidence, too. I was talking the other day to a lawyer, friend of Obama, Newton Minow, 50 years ago this month, coming Monday, May 9th, is the anniversary of perhaps the only speech by head of a regulatory agency that anybody will ever remember, a speech in which he went before the National Association of Broadcasters as a 35-year-old new FCC chairman and called television a vast wasteland.
50 years ago.
50 years. He called it a vast wasteland. And reading the speech, John, you've got to go and read it. You cannot imagine a regulatory chief going to the industry he covers or a cabinet officer doing the same and excoriating them in the way this guy did, and, you know, bashing them for their, quote, procession of game shows, violence, audience participation shows, formula comedies about totally unbelievable
families,
on and on and on.
Shining out from that wasteland, Barack Obama. We got to do a segment on that speech next week. James Warren, Chicago columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and the Chicago News Cooperative, former managing editor of the Chicago Tribune. From the vast wasteland of television, Barack Obama seemingly triumphant after this week, but with the short memory of Americans, only time will tell. James, thanks so much.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.